I'm right, I don't have a scab on my forehead. I don't care. I look
Yeah.
great compared to what I did.
Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David. And
Hello.
we've been chatting this morning about sacrifice. And part of the way that society has changed, I think, is because there's less of a spiritual and religious bent with a lot of people.
I
So
suppose.
therefore, what do people believe when they die?
Let's give an example of what we're talking about in this. From a counseling point of view, sometimes I'll be dealing with clients who may be older or this or that, and often they've made quite substantial sacrifices in their life, either being the primary caregiver or breadwinner, or it might be that they might have had a sick partner or something. And anyway, so they've made a sacrifice that hasn't been externally rewarded,
Right.
right? Because they've done a lot more for the other person in the relationship than the other person might have done for them when it all comes down for it, but they're in love. But still, they might feel some,
Resentment? Bitterness?
not necessarily, they're not sure what to do with it,
Okay,
right? Because
cool.
what happens is people aren't sure what to do with this. And so,
Can I just say one of the questions that I often ask when people are going through that, and I'm sure you get to this in your counseling as well, I say, can you imagine yourself doing this for another 5, 10, 15 years?
Oh, okay.
And that way I make them think, well, of course I'm going to be doing this in 15 years
Right.
because there's no way that they would not caretake someone that they love. So that takes the bitterness and resentment out of it when, once they consciously can extrapolate into 5, 10, 15 years
Right.
because they wouldn't do anything differently. So therefore they're in control. And I think once you give that control back to people, well, would you do anything differently?
Oh, that's one way of doing it.
I
That's
think it's a
interesting.
really nice, a way. Or they say, yeah, I don't want to be doing this in 15 years. In which case you go, okay, you need to
Okay,
make an exit plan.
that's interesting. So I do things in it. Like, I'll often ask a question that's, pretty similar to, do you think that the sacrifice you've made will be rewarded after you die?
Right.
Right, or in another fashion, like whether it's whatever you call it, whether it's karma, a lot of people I see are Christian people, so it's like
Yeah.
there's that standard thing that faithful people might believe that after death that's reallocated, and I think it says in the Bible that it might be extended.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for what you do to others, Jesus said you'll be rewarded that 10 times, or there's lots of examples like that, sacrifice for others that's rewarded in a multiplied way.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Except what I find interesting about asking people that question is you get to a thing where, what you're saying, it's like a little pre thing for that. Because, for example, if people believe that, like if they're a religious person, that they'll be rewarded after it,
Yeah.
they have a lot more space to relax and to account for it, find meaning.
Yeah.
Because people have an issue with finding meaning, especially when they're suffering. So finding meaning in that sacrifice. Whereas somebody who, because interestingly, some people even who are spiritual don't believe that.
Yes.
And when they say they're not, what it does, it opens up like what you're saying. Well, then we need to work this out while you're still alive. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Whether that's working out new boundaries, or doing something else or getting a carer maybe.
Yes.
But whatever it is, it's like if you can't find meaning through the sacrifice, that person needs more urgent attention in the present to do something about it, where,
Yes.
to give it a time limit to do. Whereas the person who believes in their sacrifice will be rewarded, they might get some spiritual response, and find some other way of finding meaning and able to tolerate that sacrifice more. And for example, like we were talking earlier, when I was growing up, we had people like nuns.
Yes.
Growing up Catholic, nuns and priests and brothers, and I know they've got a bad reputation now. Except the point is, back then, you had these people who were prepared to sacrifice their life for others, the
Yeah.
ones who weren't exploiting people. And because what were the nuns doing? They were educating the kids, and
Yeah.
they were doing it in a semi-voluntary way. And so they were doing charity work for the society.
Yeah. I was about
With,
to be cheeky.
yeah,
I was
what's
about
the
to say,
cheeky?
they got away with beating kids.
They got away with beating kids, but so did all the parents back in the
Yeah,
70s
that's true.
and 60s.
Yeah.
There was a lot of beating, and
and earlier. But anyway, yeah.
And
But you're right, no, but they have actually chosen to go into a spiritual life. At some point that has been their choice. One of my aunts, she was going to be a nun, and I asked her, because she's not a nun and she had four kids, and I said to her, well, how what did you stop being a nun because you fell in love with my uncle? And she said, no, in those days you either had a choice of being a farmer's wife or a nun. And she didn't want to be a farmer's wife because she'd grown up on a farm. So she chose to be a nun because those were the two options for her. She's like 90. So that was sort of funny.
Well, it's good to have some options.
Yeah.
Well, options are good, aren't they? They're
Options are
creative.
good.
And back then, there were less options.
Yeah. Well, I know that in MASH, they sort of, the old TV series MASH, they always push the religious side of it. Once Frank, who always, of course, was having an affair with Hot Lips Houlihan, and his wife and three kids were back in wherever he is from.
Oh, did he?
And oh yeah, so yeah.
I didn't realize he was the married guy.
Oh yeah, no, he was full on
I
married,
just thought he was a creepy dude.
No, he was creepy and married. Anyway, so this particular time, there's all these bombs going around, and he's talking to Margaret, and he says, oh, if I die, no, if you die before me, wait for me on the other side. Unless you see me when with my wife, in which case I don't know you. Anyway, but yeah, I don't know. It's been such a weird thing being in natural therapies for 30 years, because I've worked with people with Reiki skills and really, people who are very intuitive and people who see weird things like auras and chakras and ghosts. I know people who have seen entities of some sort, and I've had enough of them work for me that I know that there's something more than what we can see. I don't see any of that stuff. I'm good at muscle testing, I'm great at kinesiology, but seeing auras, chakras, ghosts is not my thing.
Well,
And
what did
so
Carl Jung say? He goes, I'm not going to do the fashionable thing of because I don't understand it, I won't say that it's true.
yeah, whereas I'm
And he
sort of
says
the
many things appear beyond time and space, which is what most people deal with.
yeah.
Ghosts, there's all types of things.
Yeah.
And he said thoughts are real too.
Yeah.
And they're so real that he goes, a man could be thinking something. He's looking at a river and he imagines a bridge. Next minute, someone builds a bridge. He goes, another man might hate someone. Next minute, that man's dead.
Yeah.
Because he wanted, and so the thoughts are real before the actual.
Well,
So,
yeah.
and what were you saying about beyond time and space?
Well, there's a guy called Eben Alexander, I think his name is. He was a neuroscientist or a neurologist or something like that, and he did something where he was in a coma, and his spiritual life when he was in the coma, he said, but he was dead. He was clinically dead. So, but he said that whole world in there when he was dead, he said it was more real than anything out here. So he came back when he got out of his coma, he came back and started studying, and he just went through this whole process of going, holy crap, there's more, because he was an atheist. He was a full-blown atheist before he went into his coma. And he said, there's absolutely no doubting. Anyway, but it was interesting when my friend Linda, her daughter died a couple of years ago, and she wanted to die after her daughter died. It was really quite tragic. Well, the whole thing's always tragic.
Not a normal.
It's not unnormal. But she, after a while, she started to see the Eben Alexander stuff. So she now truly believes that she has a fairly strong connection with her daughter in the afterlife. Like she, that it doesn't happen regularly, but they regularly have conversations. And again, I have never experienced that, but I know enough people who have had weird experiences that there's got to be something more after we die, I believe.
Well, my experience as a counselor is generally to let people believe whatever they want to believe
Yeah.
and not to interfere with that,
Yeah.
unless they ask to, but that's not very, but people are generally quite content in what they believe in.
But
And,
some people don't know what they believe either. So, it's like, like people who are Reiki masters, they often come in, and when I'm doing kinesiology on them, they go, oh, I can feel the Reiki energy. I don't feel anything like that, if I'm, whatever. But I'm glad that they feel something. And I was technically Reiki one'd about 20 years ago. I did get, attuned to Reiki one. So technically
Well,
something
there's
might
some
be sitting there.
interesting things in some counselling theories like post-traumatic growth,
Yes.
which is more common in women than men. But in that, there's nearly often a spiritual improvement.
Yes.
So spiritual improvement is there in meaning making with a lot of things. And even though we've been through, like I can see at the moment, resurgence at least of Christianity,
Yeah, absolutely.
and that's happening everywhere. And I'm interested in that because people are, especially people who grew up with it, they're getting older, and they're agnostic, and now they're
Yeah.
going, oh, I believe in that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't
And
it?
it's interesting watching that thing, and because I belong to a different religion, but I think that there were things that knocked it out.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like marriage in the Catholic sense used to be a sacrament, right? Which has that basis of the sacrifice will be rewarded after because it's a sacrament.
Yeah.
And so that, God would look upon that as a good thing if you made a sacrifice. Except, in the modern world, it's like that sacrifice in marriage is actually being equalized at divorce, and
Yes.
often unfairly. And I think that's causing some generational problems because before that, people were sort of more content to work through things.
Yeah. And I know that you always say that people are having a hard time with children and family and that sort of thing these days.
Well, the
But
kids aren't having babies, whether you
well,
like it or
a
not.
lot of it though is going to be government regulation. So what they did during COVID, Hungary, the country, not I'm starving, but Hungary, the country, they created some laws that basically reduce the amount of tax women pay if they have children. And the more children they have, the less tax they pay for the rest of their life. So they're actually pro-family, pro-Christianity. And it was only a small amount, but it went up by 0.02. Nearly every Western country in the world is reducing its population. But in Hungary, it actually went up compared to all the other OE, what it, OEC, OEDC? Anyway, the other European
Well,
countries.
Australia is a bit different. Like, for example, the UK and the US, they have like 15% immigration,
Right.
whereas we have 30.
Yeah, 30% of people who voted in the elections were not Australians. We're not
Well, no,
classic
but whatever
Australians.
it is, that's a statistic
Yeah.
because I was watching a podcast last night, and they were talking about that we've got double the immigration rate to a lot of other people,
Yeah.
and
It's
that's
going to
more.
double now that they've got in. It's going to
Well,
be awful.
I'm not political either, but it's like
Oh,
it
we
probably
already have
will.
tens of thousands of people homeless. So if we're bringing in millions, which they will over the next few years, and they're not replacing the houses, we're screwed. But
Yeah, there is
anyway,
a housing
there's a
crisis,
massive housing crisis.
yeah.
Well, you keep obliterating entire countries because of the military industrial complex, the millions of people have to go somewhere.
Well, and they are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. But
but
everywhere's got a housing crisis. I think that's pretty darn common at the moment.
it's interesting what, talking about people not having kids. Like another way to look at
But
that.
interesting that the Hungary government has created, and Russia's the same. Russia and Hungary, and I think Romania as well. There's a few countries who are going, let's put families first, and then it becomes a better choice for people to choose to have children because they know they'll be paying less tax. They know they've got
Well,
support
when
from
we
the
were having
government.
kids, they gave a lot of incentive for having kids, like
Yeah.
back when our other two kids were born.
Yep.
And so, that works when it happens because it was helpful. No, but what I was going to say about that, parenting's the same thing. It's a sacrifice,
Right.
right? It's something that really you put a lot. Parenting's something that's always like that.
What
Okay,
about
okay. But you look at
grandparenting?
the, because we look at the couple relationship. Right. And so people are less likely to, they want that really equal these days, equal contribution, say. Right. And then
Yeah.
it still might have worked. But with the parenting thing, there's never an equal contribution ever. And if there is an equal contribution, you're actually abusing your kid because they shouldn't be contributing equally.
Right, okay.
Right. Because if they're contributing equally, you're using that child.
Okay, right.
So with children, it should always be a sacrifice on behalf of the parents. Right. And there's a good area segue to work out how this thing's happening, because if people don't want to have kids, once again, we have the same thing. They don't want to make a sacrifice without the reward.
Right.
Right. So,
But a financial incentive is obviously enough going by Russia and
right.
Hungary and
Yeah.
Romania.
I'm not like the politics, you can get
I'm
people to
just
do it by
saying, yeah.
incentive. No, I understand that. But the point is I'm making is that this idea of, because there's a decline in empathy, there's
Yeah.
a decline in secure attachment in
Yeah.
families, and I think, and I've got an inkling that it's this idea of different philosophies come about. Like, for instance, feminism, I would say, would have been opposing to the idea of mum sacrificing in the family system.
Yep.
And we know that that's true. Right. And so in the divorce, you get it back.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and that's come out of feminism.
Yes.
And it's often unfair what happens, especially if you're a guy everybody knows. But it's like the idea of sacrifice. And with children, you can see if people don't want to have kids, maybe they don't want to sacrifice without reward anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part, place to come to in society.
Remember we
Do
were
you think that's
chatting to,
interesting?
well, do you remember we were chatting to that rep recently who was talking about painkillers and the lack of empathy?
Oh, okay.
So, because if you are dulling your pain, you're also dulling your brain.
Right.
So, and because you're the adrenal glands make 62 hormones and they're involved in a whole bunch of cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, all sorts of painkillery sort of substances, when you're suppressing pain in the body, you're also reducing your ability to have a conscious
Oh, okay. So
brain.
what she was saying, I didn't link that at the time, but they found some studies where people who are taking some type of antidepressant.
No, but she also mentioned painkillers.
Oh,
But
okay. She
antidepressants can
mentioned
definitely do
she
it as
mentioned
well.
painkillers, but what I do know from some studies I read, so because some of these things they dulled their, like you say, like paracetamol isn't as much, but the
Yeah.
stronger drugs, they dull the thing that stops you from, like they were saying that people are being violent because of it.
Yeah.
And that's because the thing that is regulating them is gone. I can't
Yeah.
remember exactly what it was
It's
saying.
probably the HPA, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. No. Or maybe it's calcifying the pineal
I
gland.
can't remember the study,
Yeah, okay.
but I'm not against anything. Like people do the best they can with what they've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because one of the other things that, because there's a connection as well to mass shootings and SSRIs.
That's the study I was reading.
Yeah, right. So basic, and
And I
think.
can't remember what the thing was, but because the drug took away inhibition or something, so it was able to they the thing that would stop them from doing that crazy stuff wasn't there,
Yeah.
something like that.
What, the parent?
They
The
probably
drug took away the parent.
right.
The connection to the parent. But yeah, so painkillers can reduce empathy, SSRIs, so
Well,
antidepressants can,
yeah, but
but
then. But
then
then
people are.
pain reduces empathy as well. When you're in pain, all the goodness is gone.
Yeah.
Like I put my back out a couple of weeks ago and I was in pain for 5 days and
Yeah.
all the goodness is gone. It all
Yeah.
dries out.
Yeah, I had a guy
You
who
know,
was
so.
saying yesterday that he has pain in here underneath. He said it's like a shooting pain that goes from here to here.
Right.
And I thought that's pretty interesting, like a very, very specific. But then he said it goes back up over here. And I thought, well, that's a bladder meridian. Anyway,
Oh, right. I
sort
was
of
thinking
interesting
something
because,
related to the eyes.
well,
I
sometimes
don't
the
know what's
nerves
inside there.
and meridians, you can actually track it. Sometimes when people get migraines and they say, well, it go, and they sort of describe it in their brain. But yeah, when you're in pain, your brain goes into survival. And when you're on a lot of painkillers, your brain isn't getting enough nourishment and oxygen overnight.
Okay.
So your brain is literally smothering while we're asleep, which is why there's a big connection with dementia and Alzheimer's long term with chronic painkiller addiction. And people don't even notice they're addicted to painkillers because they get up and take two in the morning and they take two before bed.
Well,
So they don't even
everything
notice
has a
that they're
tolerance.
addicted.
So the more you're taking, the less they'll work anyway.
Yeah.
Like everything's like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the definition of addiction, isn't it? So basically, for something to be classed as addictive, you have to take more frequent and more bigger doses.
Yes.
That's the so in other words, if I take two Panadol morning and night for the rest of my life, I'm not addicted to it. That's the
Right.
definition, and that's how they get away with some of these shenanigans and say, no, that's not addictive.
Or maybe sacrifice is addictive too. It becomes people pleasing.
No, maybe sacrifice is addictive.
Well, see,
Because you go
this.
on the Enneagram again,
Now,
so.
I'm not recommending anyone do any hardcore things like sacrifice. I want to make that clear.
No sacrifice.
If you don't have skin in the game, don't do it.
But it is interesting, because in the Enneagram, the two is the carer. So the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 personalities. And two is the carers. And I tell you what, okay, I've got to be careful because there's some carers that I know who are the most manipulative people on the planet because what they want to do something for someone else so that they get something back for them.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Not
So,
just experimenting with their theory, it's more than that.
oh no, I've seen it. I've
Oh.
seen it, and I've had clients who were really strong twos at the
Oh, the
caring,
clients.
the clients,
Oh.
and then they're anyway, they're the sort of person that are really hardcore to be around.
Oh.
You know, so sometimes when people feel like they've got lots of empathy, but they also don't have any other mechanism for, like, maybe, you know, we were talking about kids. One of the things that our women since the 1960s, and this can also impact on empathy,
Oh.
have been injected with during the birth process is a synthetic form of oxytocin called Pitocin
Right.
or Pitocin. Anyway, something like
Oh,
that.
yeah.
But it's synthetic. And in some people, if we're really lucky, it can block the receptors for oxytocin.
Right.
And oxytocin is crucial for empathy. You know, it's that whole mother baby thing that happens, you know, and a baby should be able to scream for a week nonstop and the mum still loves it and doesn't throw it out the window. So, you
Although you
know,
probably should help it to stop screaming and comfort it.
well, some babies are inflamed and in pain and
Oh.
they've got only one way, you know, like, yeah, my
Oh,
bro.
I'm not into controlled crying in parenting.
You're not.
No.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just make the baby happy. There's nothing wrong with releasing a bit of oxytocin. But you know, also in hospital, even pro breastfeeding hospitals here in Brisbane, they recommend dual parent feeding. So on day one, they also recommend that dad is using bottle fed. So rather than just
Yeah, but men.
allowing the mother to be mother and to do what mothers are designed to do.
But men don't produce the same hormones as women for the baby.
No,
I
so it's,
mean.
but they're trying to do this whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's like another DEI thing. You know,
Oh, well.
equity in parenting, which of course it's not meant to be equal, you know,
Well, some
when
things
we have
should
a
be.
baby.
Yeah, well.
You know, that's the mother's domain, is really 90% mother.
No, but the studies on that show that men produce a different type of relational oxytocin with the kids. That is like, the baby like that. And that is like, it's a different thing. They don't have the co-regulation capacity that mums do have. Some mums don't have it. Some people don't have it because they're not.
And there's a lot of these medical interventions that can mess with empathy and sympathy, so you can see how
There's
that can
also a
be.
lot of negative types of empathy that could be for another thing, like people who manipulate are,
Like the twos, the carers,
but they're
who are.
but people who manipulate, they prey on the cognitive empathy, so they'll lie about something so that they get the empathy,
Right.
right? And the person who should get it doesn't get it.
Yep.
That's really common in manipulative family systems.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said to you before, you know, part of the whole thing when you've got a friendship group is that if a few people fracture, the first one to ring you up and say, "Hey, David, you know, this happened the other day, and she said this and she said that," and you hear it from me first, and then she rings you up and says, "Hey, David, Madonna did this and this." You've already got the empathy for me because I rang up first.
Yeah, that's
So
right.
it's hard to flip that, and this is part of the reason why with counselors and naturopaths, it's, I mean, I have no problem with treating lots of family members because, like you, I always treat the person in front of me because they're the most important person in my life when they're in front of me. But it is amazing how often you hear the same story from two different perspectives and you think, well, the truth is somewhere in there. And of
Yeah.
course, their truth is their truth because
Well, a
their
little bit,
truth, but
but
their truth is based on their experiences, their knowledge, their understanding, their manipulations, their ACE score.
yeah, I suppose so, except when it starves one person of empathy while they get it when they're an abusive person, it's an entirely different thing, and that's not that uncommon. Like in family systems where there's, they're bad enough so that there's family roles, so you'll have a golden child and a scapegoat. Wherever that's happening, you've got all these family roles, and it doesn't matter what you do, it's not fair to the scapegoat. And they're not getting empathy, right? And that family system will work out how that person doesn't get it. Another story will always get told how they're like, they deserve it, or it's not that uncommon.
Yeah, I was probably anyway. I don't think of the scapegoat and those things. I always think of the monkey theory. So I remember being at a seminar one day and they were talking about in a because most tribes of monkeys have got like 20 to 30 in the family group or in the little tribe.
Right.
And so there's sort of like a chain of monkeys and the one up the top is the King Daddy monkey,
Yeah,
you know, with the
second
big
day,
chest.
not bonobos.
Well, I don't know what sort of monkeys. I'm just saying monkeys. But you know, you got your King
Bonobos,
Daddy
they.
up the top. But there's a very, very specific hierarchy within monkey monkey families. And the one down the bottom, he knows he's at the bottom. The one up the top, he knows he's at the top. So the funny thing about those two is they have the least amount of stress. Because the king daddy, he knows he's strong. He knows he's the toughest. He's already
And the
fought his
little
way.
one will never fight for it.
The little, but it's the ones in the middle. So he's a middle monkey syndrome. So I used to joke, I'm the middle monkey syndrome. I'm constantly trying to crawl my way because I know I'm not the bottom and I know I'm not the top, but somewhere in the middle is the, middle
Robert
child.
Sapolsky did research on that with baboons.
Yeah,
I
right.
remember hearing him talking about that
Well, I don't
exact
have a
thing.
red butt, so that's not me.
Yeah, no, baboons. Kids are rude animals.
Maybe, no, sorry. Teddy mentioned butt babies on the way to school this morning. Maybe that's why they've got red butts. Okay, continue. So baboons. So what'd they
Oh no, that
find?
no, that well, exactly what you said.
Yeah. And the 100th monkey thing, then you've mentioned before about how, someone might dream of a bridge and something like that, and then someone creates that bridge, somewhere else in the world. You've heard of the 100th
Oh
monkey
no, he's
syndrome
like
as
that
well.
person will make the bridge. I mean, he's like saying that thoughts become reality, so therefore the thought itself is reality and shouldn't be considered beyond time and space, and it's actually a fact as much as this is a fact. You know what I mean?
Well,
Thought, and that's that getting beyond time and space thing.
but
Like what a ghost.
you've heard about the 100th monkey syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's sort of where we've got there were, I think it was on different islands, there was like a whole bunch of monkeys who wanted to eat a particular
Coconut, I think
something.
it was.
Coconut, and it was too bitter. So what they would do is
Oh.
bury it. There was something, maybe it was a root or something, or some seeds or nuts. Anyway, so what they ended up doing was burying it under the water in a flowing stream for X amount of days or weeks or something, and then they would get it out and it would be edible and wouldn't make them sick.
Right.
Simultaneously, on another island, animals started doing the same thing. So never been done before. Then all of a sudden they were doing it on different islands. So yeah, the whole energy's out there, thoughts are out there.
Well,
But this is also where, and it's hard to do, but being aware of our thoughts. So when you're in a bad mood,
not
and
me ever.
yeah, not me ever either. I love our political system in Australia. Okay, so when we're in a bad mood, that energy can be spreading around you. I had a friend who was a really good Reiki master. But he would refuse to do Reiki on anyone when he was in a bad mood. Unfortunately, he was a sullen 70-year-old, so that was fairly regularly. But I used to say to him, just do Reiki, sort of it'll calm the farm. He'd go, no. I might accidentally put some of my negativity into the client. I'll go, okay, fair enough. You don't want to get that bad juju.
Not if it's that bad.
Yeah, he was admitting it. Yeah, so empathy's on the decline.
Well, it's interesting that sacrifice,
And
how would
therefore,
sacrifice?
potentially sacrifices on the decline. In the same way, and this is one of the things that I was sort of thinking, go and
Oh,
go.
no, I'm just thinking, what sacrifice's relationship with empathy? Haven't worked that out yet.
The what, sorry?
Well, what's the relationship between sacrifice and empathy? There must be some extended empathy by that sacrifice where you can sacrifice for longer and you're not a people pleaser. You've got meaning out of it. I know, I'm curious about it. I'll do some more research.
Interesting. Anyway, if you've got any thoughts, stick them below.
Yeah. And remember, sacrifice is an extreme dangerous sport. So if you're thinking about it, like be careful before you approach it.
See you later,
See you later.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.